God feeds us and makes us one, if only we do our small part to make that a reality. Think of these hot days we've endured the last couple of weeks, and it's still ongoing, more to come. When we're hot and sweaty working in the garden or outside or mowing the lawn or, God forbid, climbing up on the roof above me here to check the work of the men, which I've been doing, which is now black and even hotter under the sun. And then you go down or inside and you get a nice cup of cold water. It's like the greatest water you've ever had in your life. When you're sweaty and hot and exhausting, or just one nice ice cold beer. Oh, it's glorious. When you're so hot, you're so sweaty, or when you're starving. You know, nothing makes food taste better than hunger. And that absence of, the need for, the lack of, makes the experience all the more life-changing, refreshing, satisfying, a real blessing. Well, in the scriptures today, we hear from the first reading, the people of God starving in the desert. They are dying of hunger. There's not enough food. And the prophet comes. The prophet comes to provide them, saying, give it to the people to eat. Though there were only 20 barley loaves and made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the year. This was the first fruits that religiously was meant for the bread of presence in the temple, only to be consumed by the priests of the temple, no one else. And the prophet says, the people are starving, give it to them. He's breaking all kind of cultic rules and regulations. Only the priests are to eat this bread. It is the first grain, meaning the most robust, the most healthy, the best of that year's harvest. And they give it to God. And then the priest alone eat it. But the people are in need. And the prophet says, give it to the people to eat. He seems to be breaking with every cultic practice, but he's foreshadowing a time when God would give his people the greatest bread, not just for the priests, but meant for everyone. So much so that he would feed us, that there would be bread left over. The Second Vatican Council, in its dogmatic constitution on divine revelation, tells us that the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is made manifest in the New. And we see that every Sunday, the Old Testament reading, first reading, always relating to the gospel. But today in particular, we see how a bread reserved for priests alone to honor the presence of God now becomes food for the masses by the will of the prophet, revealing the will of God. And God provides so much from a small amount that there's even some left over. We see this fulfilled and realized in the gift that is the bread from heaven. The hand of the Lord feeds us, the psalmist says, and nothing is more true than that in the gift of the Eucharist, bread that has only been historically allowed to be touched by the priests and received themselves to themselves by priests and bishops and given to the deacons and everyone else, now becomes the food for everyone or properly disposed. God wants to satisfy our hunger so much that it is even more than we can need. It would satisfy us beyond what we could imagine, so much so that there's even some left over. And we see that every time we come into the church in the tabernacle. It's the presence, it's the bread of God's presence here in the church. That is nowhere else. That's why Catholics, when they enter the church, they don't sit down. Catholics know this isn't just a hall for prayer. Catholics know that God is literally present here, unlike any other church or religion. And so when we come into a church, we always genuflect on our right knee, making the sign of the cross, acknowledging and adoring Jesus in the Eucharist, and then we sit down. We never just come and sit down. If physically we're unable to genuflect, we make a profound bow, as much as our body or back or neck will allow us to, toward the tabernacle, and then we sit down. God is here. He wants to satisfy our need above and beyond what we could possibly imagine, so that we can share that with others. We see in the gospel today the fulfillment of the Old Testament reading. There are thousands upon thousands of people, 5,000 men, but it's safe to assume there are even more women and children. And here we have just a few barley loaves and two fish. It's a ridiculous amount for so many. Absolutely and utterly laughable. the idea that so few can feed so many. But Andrew points it out, and the little boy offers what he has. And the point of today's gospel is exactly that, that if we give the little that we have, God can multiply it and feed the many. If we can just give our part, it's not just in donations, and it's not about how much. Everyone giving generously but responsibly according to their ability. It's also about just our kindness to one another in the church and outside it. It's about offering a bit of our time if we're retired and serving the church in some way, serving food, cleaning, offering to volunteer, or if you have some kind of talent or skill that you'd like to contribute, repairing pews, helping put up signs, etc. If we give just a little bit, it seems laughable in the context of what our building needs and the reality that we have to bring in very expensive, massive professional companies to do the load of the work. But when everyone gives a little bit, mountains move. The church is being transformed with just a handful of people that do it. Imagine if all of us contributed some of our time or our talent, or at the very least our prayer and adoration, which is not the least of all, but the most important, because it's the foundation for the work we do. Everything changes. God takes what we give him, the laughable, ridiculous amount we can give, and makes it so much that not only is everyone satisfied, but there's enough left over to share with others and to recognize God is with us. Are you doing your part? Are you giving back? How are you contributing to God, whether it be here in our parish community or in our society at large? If all we do is sit on our chairs after retirement and watch TV and do little to nothing else but take care of our own things, it's a life that is empty, unfulfilled. It's not a life lived for others. It's lacking the gift and the promise, the blessing of God. And so in the gospel today, as we begin entering into John chapter 6, this great bread of life discourse, God tells us, just give the little you have, whatever it is, no matter how small, give it to me. Give it to me generously and trust in me and see how I will multiply it and transform the community. When I came here, there was a lot of major issues that caught my attention. And honestly and frankly, I went intensively into trying to address these problems because I felt like it was a safety issue. Whether it was the air ducts that had never been cleaned in the property for decades, or the roof structure and major leaking, or the walls expanding out, the brick walls, or foundational issues to the brick of the church, and many other things, it seemed overwhelming and impossible, not having a head of maintenance, head of IT, a business manager, parochial vicar, deacon, and me having to be all those things. But I did what I can with what I was given, thanks to you all. And with those who helped and contributed and volunteered, we've done amazing things in less than 2 years. That's available, as I've mentioned, on our parish website in the year in review, at the very top banner of our website. You'll see over 50 things, and I need to keep updating it every 2 weeks or so. There's more I have to add to it now that we've done just in these past 2 weeks. But when everyone gives a little bit, God moves mountains. We have over $500,000, or we'll be getting over $500,000 in grant money. We've already received almost $350,000, and we're working toward now solar panels on the parish office and garage, and two new rooftop units for air conditioning and heating for the rectory and the office that are at their lifespan or have passed it of over 15 years old. And through grant money and assistance, God continues to provide. But we just have to do our little part. How can I help? Where do you need help? This is what I have. It's nowhere near what is needed, but it's what I have. And that's all God asks, just to give the little that you have. Because when we do that, not only does God multiply and feed us and feed those around us emotionally, spiritually, or literally, as you'll experience after Mass today, but he also makes us one. Now we realize that we're part of a bigger reality, something greater than ourselves. It's not just God alone who we live for and serve, but in serving and loving him above all things, now we belong to a community. And the little I give makes the life of all of us better, and we are blessed by it. That's why Paul urged the Ephesians to live in a manner worthy of the call they received, not just with humility, gentleness, and patience, but even bearing with one another as we serve to preserve unity. And that's something that we need today, maybe arguably more than ever, as we enter into another presidential cycle and election season. God knows we need unity in our church, in our world, in our country, possibly more than ever. And that will depend on us. You might say, how am I going to affect peace in the world or in our country or even just in our church? But giving the little you have, offering kindness, your prayers, and your service and your generosity makes all the difference. Because when all of us do a little, great things happen. I think these last 2 years are a testament to that. And that's with a very small percentage of parishioners doing their part. If 25% of people that attend Mass here did a little bit, I can only dream and imagine what would be possible. But with what is typical in every parish across the country, just 10% or less contributing, if you go to our website and look at the year in review, you'll see what God can do. Imagine if that's doubled or tripled what God can do. As we come here in the presence of God, his Eucharistic presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, he reminds us that I come to feed you, but not just so that you are full and satisfied, but so that others can be fed through you and by you because of me. When you do that, I will make you one in a world filled with division and conflict and the threats of war and dictatorship and controversy. God reminds us that the Olympics cannot do what he can do if we do our part. The good thing is you don't have to be an elite athlete to achieve it. Just a heart open and generous, trusting that when we give our hearts to him, he can make mountains move. Give it to the people to eat. The bread that was reserved for the priests is now yours. And it is no common bread, but the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. As you feed upon him, may he speak to your hearts and move you to give back what you have received, 12 wicker baskets full and beyond.